I know when you look at me, you go, wow, that is an adventurer.
This is actually what I wore on my wedding night.
Oh! Hey, guys, this is Phil.
Pleasure, Phil. I am underdressed.
Are you hungry?
You know me.
Yeah, I do.
The best part of traveling, sitting with people you just met and sharing a meal with them.
Saoji.
Am I lucky to have this job? Yes. Are there occupational hazards? Yes.
Cue dramatic music.
Oh, boy.
Man, this is a lot.
Too much?
Yeah.
Please don't die. Don't die on me.
It is just simply one of the best shows on television. Somebody Feed Phil is a travel show, kind of. A culinary show, yes. Comedy show, yes. It is Phil Rosenthal, who was the executive producer, co-creator of Everybody Loves Raymond, who took his show, I'll Have What Phil's Having, that was on PBS, and turned it into this new Netflix series in which he travels around the world and around the United States and explores different places and different foods. And as I had mentioned to you, season 4 will premiere this coming October the 30th. And it's always my pleasure to talk with Phil Rosenthal. Hello there, my friend.
Hello. Good to talk to you again. How's life?
Phil, I've had the opportunity to binge season 4. Netflix was nice enough to send me the episodes so I could see
them. You're one of the first.
I you know, got a chance to take a look. I don't know if I'm more impressed with the fact that you are not 700 pounds with all the food that you eat, or if I am more impressed at what an amazing dancer you are.
I would say it's the dancing.
You are. All I can say is it's stunning to watch you dance.
I think stunning is a good word.
Yeah.
We have, coming from sitcoms like I do, I always had a saying that nothing beats funny dancing.
Well, the episode in Rio de Janeiro delivers that in spades. Talk to me a little bit about how you even, I mean, you go from one of the most successful sitcoms in the history of the television medium to, you know, doing this quirky show. How do you make a transition like that?
So after Raymond, I think I told you the story about how, you know, going to Italy on Raymond and seeing Ray Romano physically and emotionally and mentally transform into someone excited about travel, because I had that influence on him, I thought, what if I could influence other people? So I always had this kind of idea, this show to do, you know, and follow in the footsteps of the great Anthony Bourdain. And I've told you that the way I sold the show finally was to say, I'm exactly like Anthony Bourdain, scared of everything.
Except you're scared of everything.
Yes. And then, you know, from that you get the idea that I'm not Anthony Bourdain, and in fact there might be a sense of humor maybe behind this, which might set us apart from other shows in the genre. And so I always had this in the back of my mind, and yet coming from Raymond, everybody, including my agents, of course, wanted me to do another sitcom, because for them, that's where the money is.
Yep.
And so it's not for lack of trying. I thought that's what I should do also, because that's what I do. I make sitcoms. But the business had changed so drastically after I graduated from the Raymond experience, after 9 years of being in that little bubble. Nice bubble, by the way. I couldn't get a show on. I couldn't get the type of show that I do, which is the realistic family sitcom, adult, not for children, but not vulgar either. So you could watch with your kids and grandma, and all the jokes would go over their heads if they were racy in any way. This is my sense of humor, for better or worse. This is what I feel comfortable with. And everything at that time was not that way. It had become, for lack of a better word, more blunt, more less to the imagination, let's say. And I didn't the shows they wanted me to do. They were offering me ideas and things, and I just didn't. I said, that's not me. Doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And when I would pitch something, they said, that's not us. We're not doing that anymore. Yeah. And
is that because television has changed so much that there are so many television platforms now and so many different kinds of shows out there now that this basic formula that worked so well for Carl Reiner and for Dick Van Dyke and for Everybody Loves Raymond is, it's almost like too basic for what people are expecting.
The people in charge don't value it.
Hmm.
And by the way, they didn't value it then either. They didn't value it when we got on the air.
Hmm.
We barely got on the air because it wasn't hip and edgy, which is the notes we kept getting. Could you make it more hip and edgy, a little sexier? I'm like, well, you got the right guy.
Did you ask Doris Roberts to try to make it a little sexier?
I was trying to follow in the footsteps of Carl Reiner and Norman Lear and Gary Marshall and the great people who made, the shows I love and the Honeymooners, things like this.
Yeah.
Shows that took place on planet Earth with things that were happening that you could believe would really happen and with an understanding that you had a responsibility to the audience, the broadcast audience, that would involve an entire family watching. I don't know. It's just my values. I can't explain it any other way. And those values weren't valued.
Yeah.
They want the sexy premise. You know, when I pitched a guy and his family live across the street from his parents, nobody was jumping up and down. Oh my God! How sexy is that idea? We got to have that. It was hard to get on then.
That's amazing.
And then 9 years later, it was even harder.
Yeah.
My point is, I struggled for years trying to get another sitcom going, and nobody wanted it. And I thought, if I'm going to bang my head against this show business wall, why don't I pick this spot in the wall that I really, really like? And so I tried very hard. It took me 10 years of, trying little videos and doing things for a credit card company once that I did, and they got some film on of me going and eating. And I made that into a little test reel, and I took it around town.
Yeah.
And finally PBS said yes.
It really is like the perfect alternative to, a chef standing behind a stove and telling you how knowledgeable they are about the world of culinary arts, where, you walk into a place without any knowledge of what you're about to eat, and you are educated, we are educated, at the same time you are entertaining us because you're reacting the same way that any of us would react if we went into some place and they put fried eel in front of us or, some of the things that you wind up eating.
Well, I figured there would be people out there like me, people who watch, let's say, Anthony Bourdain and go, he's amazing, I'm never doing that, right?
And
all I want to do is get my fellow couch potatoes to take that baby step out of their comfort zone, which you see me do, with more frequency. The more I travel, the wider my comfort zone gets, right? You can see in this season, I'm a little bit more.
You are.
I wouldn't say brave, but maybe slightly more adventurous, maybe.
I would say that the zip lining that you did was pretty brave, Phil.
I was scared to death, if I'm going to be honest with you. They say, okay, stop. We'll stop here. You're in the treetops.
Yeah.
Hundreds of feet in the air. You can hold on to this tree if you want. Yeah, I'm going to hold on to that tree. These guys are like on the edge of the thing. Even though they're clipped in, it's scary. It's scary.
Yeah, and those guys, I mean, in the section where you're doing the zip lining, it looked to me like those guys were enjoying scaring the hell out of Phil Rosenthal. That was their objective that day. How much can we scare Phil?
I've been providing that kind of fun to people ever since elementary school. The guys who were good at sports, they loved nothing more than to torture me.
I will also say, you know, having watched the new season, which begins October 30th on Netflix.
Friday.
This coming Friday, everyone will be able to enjoy and laugh. I can't even tell you how much you're going to enjoy it. But I see that you took the advice of these network hotshots who were telling you to, can't you make it sexier, can't you make it sexier, with your dancing, with, you know, some of the things that you've done. You've taken their advice, Phil, clearly.
If you think that that's sexy, I have a clinic you have to go to. That's just the first I've heard this. I'm very flattered. Thank you very much.
I'm telling
you. Can I tell you something? When you go to Rio de Janeiro, have you ever been to Rio de Janeiro?
I never have. I want to go now. After I saw you, I want to go now.
Yeah, it's so beautiful, physically beautiful. All the people are gorgeous, right? The food is spectacular. The drinks, the caipirinhas, right? My new favorite drink.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're literally dancing in the streets. It's hard not to dance when you're there.
Yep. And there were people who had far less clothing on than Phil did. I'm trying to tease the audience a little bit with the sexiness factor that you bring to this.
I'm with you. There is sexiness in that episode. Don't look to me for it, but look to the people next to me.
Talking about the Chicago area, Phil Rosenthal from Somebody Feed Phil. When I've been mentioning to people that you were going to be on the show today, everybody mentioned how much they love your Chicago episode that you did last season.
That makes me so happy. But as much as they like that episode, it's not half as much as I love Chicago.
What did you do when you were here? I mean, we saw the episode, but you must have gone around town and done different things. Did you get to enjoy the city at all while you were here, or is it?
Oh my God, that's all I do. You know what you see on the show? What you see on the show is me enjoying the city. I mean, I love the job, but I really am. It's kind of like what you see is me on vacation, pretty much. They're just filming me going around. Hey Phil, we set up this thing at Pequod's. You're going to go in. You're going to meet the owner. You're going to sit and try all the pizzas. Oh, okay. I'll do that.
Twist my arm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like better than if I was just on my own. Nobody knew who I was. And I walked in. I would order, you know, some pizza. I'd order one. They bring them all to me.
Yeah. Yeah. How much preparation?
So I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I mean, I understand this for TV. I understand I shouldn't be in a bad mood. And I should also be hungry when I come in. So I want to eat a lot.
Well, you know, that's the other thing. Besides me just, you know, thinking what a fantastic job this guy's got, how do you stay so thin? You are constantly eating. If I ate one quarter of the amount of food that you would, they would have to, like, wedge me into the studio every day.
It's easier than you think. And what I mean by that is, first of all, two things. You know how they make a dog food commercial?
I guess.
They don't feed the dog until the commercial. I'm the dog.
You're the one running for the bowl of Alpo.
If I have the scene at Pequod's, I'm not eating until then. Yeah. Because I want to be, first of all, excited. You don't want a bored guy or a boring guy. You want someone who's excited about the food, and I want to convey to you how great it is. I'm not acting. But I am a little bit hungry, which they say is the best appetizer. Hunger is the best appetizer.
Yeah, yeah.
And when that food comes, I'm excited. And if it's good, I'm really, really excited. And luckily in Chicago, you have no end of great food. I didn't even scratch the surface. And we hit a lot of places. There's even bonus scenes that you can go on YouTube and see. The other places that we went to.
That you went to. You know what? You know what everybody's talking about, though, with your Chicago visit was how moving it was to see you at the church and the celebration that went on at that church. And I know that you had mentioned that to me before, that was also a huge highlight for you.
It's huge. You know, the show, we talk about food a lot. It's not really about the food. I mean, I know that you get that. It's about the connection to the people. You know, I love that scene with those folks. I hope their business is better. I hope it survives COVID. I hope that people know what a great place that is and how important it is historically and how wonderful the people there are.
This is Pat, 312-981-7200. Pat, you're on with Phil Rosenthal on WGN.
Hi, Phil. I watch you all the time, and I just want to say we were in Florence like about three years ago, and we saw your episode on that restaurant where they put the food out, and then they come to the window and da 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 in Italian, and we had no idea what they were saying, but it was the most delicious meal we had, and we never would have gone there if it wasn't for you.
Well, that's the best thing you could say to me. That makes me so happy. I'm so glad you had that experience. It didn't matter what they were saying, right? Because the food was so delicious.
Absolutely not.
Say, I'm coming over to that window.
And then when the young man who had Down syndrome came to the window, everybody cheered. It was such a good experience.
What a beautiful thing that is, isn't it? I just think it's...
Absolutely.
Spectacular. I'm so glad you got to experience that. And I want to tell you that the world will be returned to us. We're going to get through this. We're going to get to travel again. I think everybody should watch the show the way they always watched it, with an eye towards what you just said. Hey, that looks good. Let's go there.
Yeah.
Right? Which is the whole purpose.
Right. And it's something I never would have done.
Yeah.
Great.
Phil made it accessible for you. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, this new season, Phil, season 4 that begins Friday on Netflix, you got this done right before the pandemic began. The shutdown began, right?
It's a film from the lost world. but we, like I said, it's just we've taken this break for health reasons, and the whole world has. And we got to get smart. We got to figure it out. There'll be a vaccine, though, one that we can trust. Don't take the first one off the. Wait for verification. I tell people I don't update my phone until I see what happens to everybody else. So. But it is coming. I truly believe it is coming, and I truly believe that we'll be back out there. And I tell everyone, you know, I think we're going to be so grateful that the world is back. And we're going to be so happy and so have so much gratitude. And that's going to last about 2 weeks, that feeling. And then we'll go back to complaining about something.
Yeah, we're right. Exactly. The new season, we talked about you in Rio de Janeiro, which is an amazing episode to watch. It's so beautiful and so colorful and so much fun. But you also went to many of the islands in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, a couple of islands in Hawaii, yes, Oahu and the Big Island, and that was spectacular. And you know, not known for their food, Hawaii, where you can get a good meal, I think, practically anywhere. And there are great chefs, young chefs, who are moving there and who are even from there, and they understand the internet, how to search the internet and find what other chefs in bring it to Hawaii, and that's happening all over the world.
Yeah. You'll also see an episode where Phil goes to Singapore, which is amazing. San Francisco, which, you know, they're developing their culinary scene there. They have a lot of potential there as well.
one of the great food cities in the world.
Yeah. What was the other, the fifth episode? Was it the Mississippi Delta? Is that right?
That's it. That one was a real eye opener for me.
Yeah, they're just fantastic. Texter wondering, are you going to be doing more Curb Your Enthusiasms? They say the episode with you, Larry, and the MAGA hat was hilarious.
Yeah.
Thank you, Phil, for always making us laugh.
What a pleasure that was. I've done the show now twice. I'll do it anytime they ask because it's so much fun.
We're going to look forward to that. Now, Somebody Feed Phil, season 4 premiere on Netflix. is this coming Friday, October the 30th. There's five new episodes, and I can't recommend them enough. I just think they're great. I think you're great. I love seeing your dad. Our condolences on the passing of your beloved mom, who we saw on the previous season.
Thank you.
It's so great to see your dad telling us jokes. And
every show. He's got a joke every show. He'll never run out. He's 94. He holds every Catskills old Jewish joke in his head.
Phil, our best to you, and thank you so much for joining us and for talking with us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, my friend. Anytime.
Phil Rosenthal, Somebody Feed Phil, season 4 on Friday.